when it comes to the digital identity systems, even especially actually the decentralized ones, what are the main problems that you see over here on having the decentralized systems treating identity practically as something rigid and bureaucratic and not as something fluid?
That is a really big question.
Yeah,
I
it
mean,
is.
one of my main reports on the topic is titled "Human Identity: The Number One Challenge in Computer Science," because it's by my analysis at the heart of everything. But let's rewind. Let's go back. I know 80 years to the birth of what became known as computer science, as and when these amazing digital machines were being invented. Guess who the first paying customers were? Governments and large corporations. And if there's a word, particularly in the early to mid 20th century, that's synonymous with government and with large corporates, it's the word bureaucracy. So the first thing that these machines were put to was kind of like, we've got these tables we've been keeping in paper. Can we digitalize these tables in some way, shape, or form? Records of, I don't know, all the parts that had to come together on this on the factory floor to make this particular product. Of all our suppliers, of all of our customers, who's on payroll? Basically, table after table after table, record after record after record, in that bureaucratic fashion that was celebrated right at the beginning of the 20th century, but soon came to be deeply criticized by the people who actually first celebrated. The digital is fantastic at that kind of task. And the idea that you and me were just items in a table alongside, I don't know, the steering wheel for the car you were making, right? Just like we're things. Didn't matter. It was just the digitalization of bureaucratic process. And I would argue that it really didn't matter up until, I don't know, about 15 years ago. About 15 odd years ago, a number of things happened. Firstly, the things. So we're all carrying around supercomputers in our pocket. Secondly, the instrumentation of many things in our world. In other words, they are online, even if they don't look like they are, even if they don't have a screen. So the digital is now pervasive. And in terms of everybody watching this, deeply interested in decentralizing, by which we mean removing concentrations, which then allows those three things allow for the digital to seep into all the nooks and crannies of life that for 80 years never happened. Well, so that means that we might be inheriting some ideas, some concepts that can be traced all the way back to bureaucracy, and we are giving them a new life. We are transcoding those bureaucratic ways. And if you're expecting different results from transcoding the same concepts, you're going to be disappointed. We have to question some of these concepts and say, are they fit for purpose in terms of 2025, not 1925?
Like having, and that makes perfect sense when you're transcoding something old that hasn't really been working. Like there, we cannot expect a different result. But when it comes to decentralization, especially, like, do you think that especially this not addressing this flaw, I should call it a flaw, of the human identity and like the digital identity, is actually the one of the main hurdles to reaching true decentralization,
Oh,
because
yeah. It's the
trying to.
number one challenge in computer science. It is fundamentally, if we're going to make sure that the digital systems we build adapt to us rather than require us to adapt to them, then yes, we have to question these concepts that we've otherwise inherited. Decentralization is something we see across nature. I'm a biomimeticist. If there's a challenge that I'm grappling with, I kind of look to natural systems first and say, well, there's nature kind of resolved that in interesting ways because she's had a, shall we say, a little longer to think about it, so to speak. And therefore, we don't see a clump of trees in a forest through which all the information flows, so that those that clump of trees has control or power over the neighboring flora and fauna. We don't see that. And so we're drawn to decentralization similarly in human systems, except that, as Nathan Schneider articulated really brilliantly about 5 years ago, decentralization is only a means to an end. It's not the end itself. You can decentralize parts of the stack and become incredibly centralized. You can decentralize aspects, different aspects of the stack, and we find that we've made things worse. So decentralization is brilliant when you know why you're decentralizing. And sometimes we don't articulate that purpose clearly as we might. And there's also a systemic aspect to it here. Most people every morning recognize that we're all just one person amongst millions working on the decentralized web and Web3. And we get to our desk and we do our bit.
Quite right.
And just in the same way that nobody in a traffic jam says anything other than, I'm stuck in traffic, they never say, I am traffic. We're all, in our own way, trying to develop code for some immediate advantages that we can see quite clearly. But because there's so many of these things going on, and because we've unquestionably adopted some of those concepts from the bureaucratic heritage of computer science, we end up with emergent qualities that might actually be the opposite of the reason we'll jump out of bed in the morning.